First, in response to a $4.5 million deficit over the next 2 years, UW-Stevens Point is proposing to cut 13 majors, most in the liberal arts. Programs that could be eliminated include English, history, philosophy, art, and political science. Meanwhile, the university hopes to expand programs in what it calls areas with high-demand career paths, things like computer information systems, finance, and chemical engineering. UW-Superior made similar cuts last year, also in the face of a budget shortfall. The moves are raising questions about the place of the liberal arts at public universities and whether colleges have an obligation to provide students with clear prospects in the job market. Eric Kelderman is a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Eric, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Great to be with you, Rob.
Well, I want to talk to you about how this all fits into national trends. First of all, are we seeing a lot of state schools dealing with budget crunches as we saw at UW-Stevens Point and UW-Superior?
Well, ever since the Great Recession, we've seen a general, I would say, shrinking of state appropriations for public higher education. As the recession began, enrollments jumped up enormously in a lot of places, and state budgets took big hits as tax revenues went down. And so the trend of tight state tax appropriations is a nationwide one, with a few exceptions. And it's exacerbated in places like, the Midwest and New England, where you have falling enrollments now with the long-term demographic trends.
And then the other trend we're watching here is this question over, should we have lots of liberal arts options in every public school, or should we have more direct career path education? Is this something you're seeing elsewhere in the country, too?
Well, yes, this is definitely, as schools, these public regional, we call them comprehensive institutions, think about focusing their resources. There's definitely a tension over, what do we keep? What do we get rid of? And a lot of the money goes to places, to programs that are seeing either stable enrollment or growth in enrollment, rather than areas like, let's say, foreign languages or philosophy, where you keep many fewer students interested in those kinds of programs. And there's also the political pressure right now, where you have lawmakers saying, look, higher ed needs to be focused much more on creating the workforce of the future. And that's a long-term tension in American higher ed as well. If you look historically, a lot of the land-grant institutions, were founded with the idea of giving, sort of the average citizen practical knowledge to build their lives around.
Are there philosophical questions that people are still arguing about over, is a university without, say, an English program or some of these other liberal arts majors, social sciences, humanities, is it still a university or is it something else?
Well, that's a great question. I think one important point to make here is that because you're getting rid of the English department, and I think that would be exceptional, but say you're getting rid of a philosophy department, right? That doesn't mean there aren't going to be any courses in philosophy at the university. A lot of the faculty members that teach in these departments will probably end up staying at the university for the foreseeable future, and they'll be teaching courses in those areas as part of the university's sort of general ed curriculum and things like that. Now, I guess the debate is, are you advancing knowledge? Are you creating knowledge and advancing it if you don't have a full sort of robust department in that area? And that I think is a long-term discussion as well about, what's the role of, say, a University of Wisconsin at Madison versus Stevens Point. You have a research university at Madison, a full, big institution where, their focus is on, doing more research. And then you have places like Stevens Point, where traditionally the focus has been on, serving the region, more the students within an hour or two of the campus, and supporting the economy of the immediate region.
Talking to Eric Kelderman from the Chronicle of Higher Education, looking at program cuts at a couple of UW System schools, cuts on the way at UW-Superior in programs and proposed at UW-Stevens Point, and the role of the university. Eric, Wisconsin has this statewide system. Not every state has something like that, but some do. Do you see the idea of more division of labor in other states with statewide systems? Does every school need an English program, or can some specialize in that? Can some have particular specialties like UW-Stevens Point and natural resources? We don't all need to cover every angle if we're a system.
That's a really great point, actually, Rob. There are other states. I'll look at, for instance, the Pennsylvania system of state higher education. They have 14 universities, and they've gone through a similar process of looking at sort of system-wide what kind of programs they offer. And in some cases, as I mentioned, foreign languages, right? Not every campus needs a Russian language program, right? So maybe you have that hosted at one campus and you offer those courses online to the other schools in the system. So that sort of thing could be accomplished, I think, in some cases as well, yeah.
And we're seeing a wider reorganization here. You've written about the thing where we're going to take two-year schools here in Wisconsin and pair them up with a four-year campus and kind of merge them together. Are we seeing rethinking of the way schools organize their resources around the country?
I think that, you know, the University of Wisconsin system, the merger between the two-year colleges and the university system, that's very interesting, actually, and I think that's one of the most far-reaching proposals we've seen for something like that. So I'm not sure there's a great comparison, but as I mentioned, I think the budget, you know, constraints in a lot of states are making people think about where do we put the money that so it can be most effective. And how do we, there's always going to be limited resources, right? There's never going to be all the money that we want to do, all the things that we want to do with it. So, and in these times when we aren't seeing, you know, really big growth in state revenue gains, then that pressure is going to be exacerbated. And folks really have to think about, you know, the best use of those dollars.
Staying with the funding side of things, you recently wrote about uncertainty in terms of federal funding for universities. What's the story you're watching there?
Well, you know, I think one thing to watch definitely in the next couple of years is the effect of the federal tax changes on the state appropriations. So if you're changing, you know, levels for adjusted gross income at the federal level, how does that affect how much money your state gets in tax dollars through state revenues? And that could have downward pressure as well if, for instance, all of a sudden you're not collecting all the tax dollars you used to. That's another pressure to add to the higher education budget. I think long-term, we also have to think about, you know, as the federal budget declines, what happens to federal student aid dollars, Pell Grants for low-income students, and the amount of authorization for, say, federal student loans, things like that.
Talking to Eric Kelderman. He's a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. We're talking about proposed cuts to liberal arts majors at UW-Stevens Point and the move toward more career-focused majors in schools around the country. Also cuts to programs at UW-Superior. Want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the idea of some schools around the UW system getting rid of some majors like history or philosophy or English, replacing them maybe with more technical or science-based programs that come with a more obvious career path? Do you worry about shifting away from the liberal arts? What is the purpose, do you think, of public universities in the country here in Wisconsin? And what is the importance of your local campus if you live in an area around Stevens Point or Superior or UW-Green Bay, you name it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. Right now, we continue our conversation with Eric Kelderman from the Chronicle of Higher Education, looking at cuts to liberal arts programs by four-year universities in favor of majors with more popular career paths. This proposed at UW-Stevens Point, cutting some majors there, some of the more liberal arts majors, getting more technical and scientific majors. Also, UW-Superior cutting a bunch of programs last year. You can join in at 800-642 1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think? Should all UW system schools be as full service as possible? Should liberal arts play a strong role there? Or should they be more job and career focused for their students. Are you a student or a part of the community at one of our UW system schools? What do you see happening where you are? What do you want to see happening? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. To your calls now. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm somebody who went to college many, many years ago. And I pursued things because I was interested in them academically, and I also pursued things towards a job. And I'm just a little bit more than worried about this trend, especially by the current administration and some of the legislators, of turning the UW into a glorified trade school. Now, I worked in the trades myself, so I don't denigrate that. But the idea of Robin Voss and these other people actually tried to go after the Wisconsin ideal, and turn it into a very watered-down version of that. And I think it's short-sighted to play down academics in favor of short-term job filling.
Tom, thanks for calling. Eric, what do you think?
Well, I think the caller makes a good point in terms of, employers in the region often say, or employers nationwide often point to specific skills they want. But often when polled, they also want what are so-called soft skills, right? So they want students who graduate from college with the ability to think independently, to think analytically, to be good communicators, and to work well in projects. These are things that, generally we think of as attributable to liberal arts education, to think more broadly and analytically. And so I think, while employers, often point to specific skills they want, they also want workers who can think in most cases. And that's, I think, the trend line in most jobs that we see is, you need a college education in a lot of cases, and it needs to be something that'll get you beyond sort of the basic skills that you might need for your job today. You might need very new skills in 5 years.
Thanks for your call. We'll go next to Wayne, calling from the San Francisco Bay Area. Wayne, hi.
Yeah, hi there. I wanted to catapult from the previous remarks that were made. I'm a University of Wisconsin Eau Claire graduate with both applied and more liberal arts degrees, including two doctorates. And the applied degrees have been, of course, very useful to pursue my career goals. However, it has been the less applied, more liberal arts exposures that I had along the way that allowed me to, in fact, hone my critical thinking skills, to enhance my creativity, and ultimately that's led to a career on an international level. I founded an organization that works in Africa and several other places on the globe in environmental disciplines. We actually create environmental leadership capacity in developing countries. And all I can say is that limiting the focus of education to technology, to the applied career-oriented disciplines, ultimately will work to our disfavor, because we need creativity. We need people that can think. And so I would like to strongly endorse liberal arts education. I think it's extremely important.
Wayne, thanks for the call. And Eric, that kind of bounced off what you just said there. As you said earlier, though, even if you're getting rid of those liberal arts majors, it doesn't mean that the people taking those science classes, maybe the computer classes or whatever, aren't taking the English classes along the way.
That's right. I mean, most of the majors, most of the folks at UW-Stevens Point are not English majors to begin with, right? But they're going to have some writing course along the way. They're going to have some English requirement probably in their general ed requirements. So they'll still be exposed to some of those things. The question is, I guess, as you mentioned earlier, the question is it really a university if you don't have those programs? And that's an ongoing dialogue, right, in terms of what do we really need to have an institution of higher education.
Thanks for the call, Wayne, at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Eric Kelderman from the Chronicle of Higher Education, looking at the role of universities in general, universities in Wisconsin, and changes to maybe the mission refocusing from liberal arts to more career paths. Back to your calls now. Dan is with us in La Crosse. Dan, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Dan?
Well, I guess more of a question than a comment for your guest here. I'm a graduate of UW-Stevens Point, and as I was listening to this, I kind of was concerned that if the university loses some of its diversity in its curriculum, does that have any impact on its accreditation as a university? I would like to hear what your guest has to say about that.
Dan, thanks for the call. Eric, is there an official accreditation of what constitutes a university, and does that end up being at risk if programs get cut?
Well, yeah. I mean, all the universities in the state are accredited, what's called regionally, and that designation gives them access to federal student aid dollars. And also, you know, the accreditor works to maintain the quality of the education at the institution. I think as the university goes forward, I'm sure they're going to be very cognizant of the accreditor's requirements for general ed curriculum, and I believe all the regional accreditors have such a requirement that students get some sort of broader education through their 4 years. So they're aware of that, and I'm sure they'll be working not to undermine their accreditation, because that has very serious consequences, of course.
Dan, thanks for the call. Go next to Rich with us in Kenosha. Rich, hi.
Hi. Hey, I just wonder why it's worth for the state to own these schools anymore. Aren't they talking about selling Madison off? I mean, could be a moneymaker for the state just to get rid of them if they're going to cut the budgets down to nothing anyway.
Rich, thanks for the call. Eric, there was talk about spinning off UW-Madison into being independent of the system, basically. Not selling it exactly, but could you talk about that a little?
I mean, we've seen these proposals pop up in various states where a flagship institution like the University of Wisconsin at Madison wants more autonomy from state regulation. And basically the rhetoric there is, look, the state is not giving us the kind of money that it used to, and so we should not have to bear the cost of the state's regulatory oversight. And so there have been moves to change that balance, and that hasn't worked out in most cases. To some degree, the regulatory scheme has been lessened by in Wisconsin and other places, but privatization in the longer term, in the bigger sense, is really not possible in a sense. I mean, the state probably owns most of the land and the buildings to begin with, and so when you start to think about it that way, then you run into some other sort of practical hurdles that you would have to get over to really fully privatize an institution like that.
Thanks for that call. Go next to Mark with us in Mineral Point. Mark, hi.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just wanted to come back to something that came up a few minutes ago, and that is the question of the sciences in the curriculum. And what I've seen firsthand, I've been a faculty member at one of the four-year campuses, and it's the very same people who are trying to push these VOTEC-type classes that are not part of the core academic curriculum. The core academic curriculum is philosophy, history, English, and the sciences, and those kinds of classes. They have been gradually eroding the sciences, the natural sciences on these campuses for at least a decade or two. They've been trying to strip away the lab component. They've been trying to reduce the science requirement. And it's generally a process of trying to dumb down the curriculum and basically undermine the sort of intellectual integrity of the institution. And I wanted to add one thing, and that is that if you look at the elite institutions in this country, the ones where people pay $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 a year to attend, they are not at all going in this direction. They are maintaining academic integrity and sticking with the core curriculum and not going off in a VOTEC direction.
Mark, thanks for the call. Eric, Mark, seeing outside interference dumbing down the science curriculum even as we try to step up on science, and he sees threats to the integrity even in science departments of their independence.
Yeah, I don't know that I can speak to that specifically. I will say this, that this argument came up when the cuts were made at UW-Superior, that the expansion of the curriculum, the availability of courses, overwhelms some students. It becomes a distraction, and you take too many credits. That's the more common complaint that we hear about higher education, which is you get into school, and yeah, there are all these fascinating courses, and you want to take them, and instead of graduating, say, with 120 credits, maybe you graduate with 150, right? And it takes you an extra year because you didn't get the required gen ed requirements. You didn't fulfill all your major requirements in time. And so that's the more common issue that I hear talked about, sort of the curriculum.
Eric, as we start to wrap up, on the funding side of things, have you seen any turnarounds, at least in some states around the country, when it comes to funding for higher education?
We have seen modest upticks in funding in many states. There are some exceptions to that. The question is, you know, have the increases kept up with enrollment in those places and inflation, the increasing costs of say, healthcare and energy on your campus, right? Those higher ed has to deal with those things just like any other, just like businesses do, private businesses. And so, and are we back to a place where the funding equals what it was before the recession hit in 2008? And in many cases, the answer to that last piece is no. We're still either at or slightly below those levels. And so, you know, it's been a decade already, and we're still not seeing sort of per student funding levels where they were, you know, before the position hit. So it's higher ed has weathered a pretty significant storm over the past decade.
Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Eric Kelderman from the Chronicle of Higher Education, looking at changes in the UW system when it comes to liberal arts and other majors. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to the Ideas Network.